Chapter 9. More on readings. Although we've been talking about readings through this whole book, I thought I should talk a little bit more about how to conduct a reading for someone else. It's mostly common sense, but it's here should you be wondering how I do things. Choosing the cards. If you've got this far in the book, you've probably shuffled the cards hundreds of times and picked out many cards at random. There is no hard and fast rule about how you should do this either for yourself or someone else. When I'm giving a reading for someone else, I let them shuffle the cards and then spread the cards face down in front of them, letting them draw three cards out at random, turning them face up as they are chosen before gathering up the remainder of the cards and putting them to one side. The reading can then begin. Some books say you should always draw the chosen cards out with the left hand, but I don't take much notice about stuff like that. As long as the cards are chosen randomly, I'm happy. Sometimes you'll find that in the process of shuffling the cards, the sitter will accidentally drop a card, or a card will make itself known in some other accidental way. If this happens, I place these cards to one side, and although they don't become the focus of the main reading, I bear these cards in mind. They can be interesting to talk about once the main reading is over, and they can give additional insights to the main bulk of the reading. General readings versus question readings. In the last chapter, I talked about how everyone brings their own set of internal cards to the reading. When you are giving a general reading, you can explore the cards in the reading with no set purpose. You can just see where the cards take you, and the sitter, and let the conversation develop. However, should the sitter have a specific question in mind, this is somewhat different. The question is in effect an invisible first card, and the subsequent cards that are laid out are shedding light on this question. If you know the question that the sitter is thinking of, then you can do one of two things. You can simply relate every card in the reading back to the question, or you can pick a card for the question before the cards are shuffled and lay that out first as the main focus. Most questions are pretty simple, and choosing a card to represent them is usually pretty straightforward. Even if you decide not to physically take a card from the deck that represents the sitter's question, it can be useful to at least think about which cards their question could connect with before the reading starts. Getting unstuck. There will be times when you're doing a reading where you get stuck. As you've probably noticed in some of the examples over the course of this book, there are moments where there just doesn't seem to be enough information about certain aspects of a reading. This can happen when too many similar cards appear together, more than one court card shows up, or for a host of other reasons. What to do? Just because you're conducting a three-card reading doesn't mean you can't use more cards. The simplest method for expanding an unclear section of a reading is to draw another card from the deck, using this new card as an additional influence. For instance, back in Chapter 7, example number 6 on page 63, and example number 10 on page 67, I found it harder than usual to figure out what the reading was trying to tell me. Drawing an extra card during either of these readings would have helped considerably. I try and be sparing, but with particularly troublesome or conflicting readings, I'll draw up to a couple more cards, laying each card on top of the cards in question, and using these new cards to continue exploring the theme in question. You could draw as many new cards as you want, but whatever spread I'm using, I always try and exhaust all avenues of discussion before drawing new cards. Drawing extra cards can make you lazy, so I try and only do this as a last resort when I'm really stuck. Sometimes when you're doing a three-card reading, it will bring up ideas that the sitter wants to explore further and deeper. For instance, you may come across a court card, but their intentions are somewhat vague in the current reading. An easy way to continue is to simply use this court card, or whatever card needs to be explored further, as the first card of a new reading. It's quite easy to keep doing overlapped readings like this, exploring avenues and seeing where they lead. Don't be scared to do what you feel is right at the time. If you want to do a whole new reading, feel free. If you want to extend a three-card reading to four or five cards, don't let me stop you. When you're exploring the cards during a reading, you should feel in control, and as it's your reading, you can do as you see fit. Creating conversation. Some people talk incessantly during a reading, yet others say very little, even nothing. You won't have any problems with the talkers. Those readings can be the most fun, and when you're giving a reading with someone very open, it's very rare that you won't get somewhere. More often than not, you'll be giving readings to people who open up as the reading goes along, so you must encourage them to talk. In the same way that you'll find it hard to get a word in when you're dealing with a talker, You must also not let yourself fall into the same trap. You need to encourage the sitter to participate as opposed to being a passive observer. And to enable that to happen, you must talk slowly and leave pauses and encourage dialogue. A simple, "Does that make sense?" or "I'm not quite sure what this bit here all means," is all it takes. After all, the sitter wants to make sense of it all, and as long as you haven't sold yourself as the all-seeing oracle, they know that they're going to have to speak up, if they're going to make the most of the reading. Give them the space to do so. Of course, sometimes you get people who don't say a word, no matter how much you encourage them. If that happens, your knowledge of the cards will certainly be tested. The best thing to do in these situations is to cover as many bases as possible in the hope that you will hit a nerve. One thing for certain is that nothing will be lost on someone this shy. They will remember every word.